All right, Romans 16. We'll be looking at the verses 25 through 27 this evening. I want to ask you, Paul says here, this is my gospel. He says that twice throughout the scripture. He says it once in Timothy and once here. He says, my gospel. And so, ain't that the Lord's gospel? Of course it's the Lord's gospel, but it's my gospel. Why did Paul say it was his gospel? Because that's what the Lord used to save him. Is that right? That's what brought him to the feet of Christ. Paul was a religious man. Oh, he had all kinds of religion just coming out of him. Oh, he could quote scripture all day long, tell you all about it, tell you the dates, tell you the history of all these things. And then you know what happened? God saved him out of all that wickedness, out of all that blasphemy. And he said, that's my gospel. Lord gave it to me. And this was the gospel that Paul was charged with to go out into the world and preach. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. This is what the Lord put in his hand to do. Not to go out baptizing folks. I ain't come baptized, can't preach. I come lead singing, I can't preach. Guess what? That's how God saves sinners. Now, did Paul baptize? I'm sure he did. Did he sing with them? Did he lead singing if nobody showed up? Of course he did. That wasn't his main goal. His main goal was to preach. Preach the gospel. The primacy of preaching. We ought to get back to that in this nation. I'm getting down to, there's going to be 30-second things you flip through on your phone in your pajamas. Get back to singing and all those other things that entertain the flesh and the mind we get into. He preached his gospel. And that's the gospel he has forever. That's an everlasting gospel. It isn't something temporary that he was given. The Lord gifted him and gave him for a season. That's an everlasting gospel because it comes of an everlasting God that everlastingly loved his people. I'm going to ask you today, ask myself. I've got to put myself in my shoes. It makes it easier on those that's tender-hearted. So me ask questions to you. Is my gospel the gospel? There's only one. There's not multiple options. There's not multiple sects. That's not possible. There's either life in Christ, in the gospel, or there's death. That's it. There ain't no halfway. You ain't got one foot in one foot in the other. You either have the gospel or no gospel. There's not another. Paul told us that plainly in Galatians 1. And so I ask myself, is my gospel the gospel? You ask yourself, is your gospel the gospel? Everybody's got a gospel. Do you know that? Everybody has good news. Everybody has glad tidings. What does that manifest? Well, not everybody goes to church. Well, maybe it ain't church. Maybe it's my family. Oh, I just love seeing I love my children. I love seeing y'all come through the door. I'm proud of you. I want to tell people about you. But if that's all I have in this world, people make that their gospel, their charity, their work, their employment. That's what brings them happiness. That's what brings them glad tidings. That's the good news to them. Everybody's got a gospel. But is our gospel the gospel? Paul's was. And he tells us here plainly. He started Romans out giving us the gospel. Preaching who Christ is. Who God is. Who man is. And how God saves sinners through the blood of Christ. Him laying down his life for his people. And that satisfactory payment. That propitiation. That Christ was in this flesh as the God-man. He was made a man. There was a day he came to this earth. He wasn't here, and then he was. He was made a man, but he was declared God. He's always been God. And then there was a day that he said, this is God. John the Baptist said, there he comes. I don't deserve to take his shoes off. And then there was a day in our hearts, in regeneration, when the Holy Spirit comes to us and declares Christ in our hearts. Now, all of a sudden, that's not a gospel. That's not a theology. This isn't just, let me laminate a piece of paper and I can check this off every morning and memorize some things. That's a person. A person came to us. A person was revealed in us. And it was declared in our hearts. That's God. I know Him. He came to me. He declared Himself to me. Paul says here in verse 25, Romans 16, 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith to God only wise. Be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Who's he speaking of? He says here in verse 25, now to him. Who's Paul talking about? Same one Jude was. The only true God, the only wise God, our Savior. He says there in verse 27, to God only wise. That's who he's talking about. God only wise is of power. He has the power to establish you. That's what I try my best to, over 250 times in this pulpit, to declare. God is able. He has the power to establish you, the wise God, not man, not our doing, not our establishment, him. God's only wise, and he is of power to establish you. That's what Paul's writing us. Why would God need to establish people? Why would he need to establish us? Can't we do that ourselves? Of course not. We're just mush. We're without form and void, just like the earth was when the Lord created it. We can't establish ourselves. We must be established, because in our natural birth, from that seed of Adam, from our fall in the garden, our fall in conception, our fall, the first words out of our mouth crying and lying to our mothers, we didn't need to change diaper. We didn't need fed. We just want somebody to pick us up. We cried. That's lying. That's deceit. A day old baby. From all that fall, everything we are, all through us. As our brother said today when our Lord wept, that was me. He had to bear me. Oh, well, if that don't get you, nothing will. With the grace of God in Christ Jesus, in his face, and his blood towards his people. Oh, what a God we have. What a salvation we have. But we're fallen. What we truly are. We are enemies with the God that created us. In every fiber in our body. We think we're doing right. It's all bad. Everything in it. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 3. We need to have our hearts established, because we can't. We can't do it. 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, towards all men, even as we do towards you. He's praying that the Lord make you grow in love towards your neighbors, towards your enemies, towards your brethren. We can't do that, can we? We can't make our love get bigger and stronger and be able to use it more. Lord has to do that. What's all that going to do? If we grow in love and grow in compassion towards one another, belief in Christ and loving our brethren, loving him, what's the end state of that? Look at verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There's a heart work has to be done. Ain't no cleaning up outside the cup. Ain't no holy living's going to get you into heaven or get you right for heaven. God, in his love, has to display his love in you. He has to do a heart work to make you unblameable in holiness before God. Because you have to be holy to be in his presence. That heart needs to be established. He has to be make it alive. It has to be born of God. Heart work has to take place. We need that word that he has to establish us. It's by his command God establishes the heart of his people. David wrote in Psalm 119, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear, who's devoted to thy honor. Those that are yours. Lord, you have to establish your word in my heart. He has to do it. And he does that by his word. By his word. Turn over a little bit to 2 Thessalonians 2. We need to establish all these good works that we have. We think that we do wonderful things. And there's things I do I'm proud of. What a shame. What a shame. Well, I did pretty good at that. Whether it's cutting grass or giving to somebody that needs a bag of groceries down at the grocery store. I think I helped somebody out. The Lord has to establish my works. Anything any man's ever going to do that's good, God has to establish it. Look here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel to our hearts, says, comfort your hearts. That's the only place comfort can be found. And establish you in every good word and work. Every word that comes out of my mouth that's going to be established in holiness and righteousness, serving my God and serving my brethren, God has to establish it. Any good work that my hands do, that my ears do a listen to somebody, come cry to me. I'll try to keep my mouth shut. I won't give no advice. You just let it out. I'll listen with you. I'll cry with you. For me to do something like that, God has to establish it. That's not of our hand. It's not our doing. Look here in chapter 3. He's got to keep us from evil. So many people, I grew up with people, I feel so sorry for them. They think they're soldiers for Christ and they're going to battle Satan. You ain't going to do it. How long has he been around? A lot longer than you. I can't battle traffic, much less the Lord's devil. Well, I'm going to keep myself from bad works. I want to. I don't want to sin against my God. I'll cause another drop of blood be shed from my Redeemer. I have no desire to do that. That's foolishness. But He has to keep me from that evil. He has to be the one that does it. Look here in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Even those that have faith, we seem unreasonable and wicked most of the time, don't we? But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. If the Lord can keep me from the evil one, if He can keep me from hell for eternity, a wretch like me, do you think He's going to get me through tomorrow? Do you think He can get me through something this government that He established put to me? If they change the speed limits back to 55, you think I'm going to be okay? They make me wear seat belts and shoes and t-shirts inside of places of businesses. Do you think God's going to keep me? Whatever evil thing we do, that was the evil back in the 80s in West Virginia and Kentucky. They make you wear shoes going into a restaurant? That's socialism. Y'all laughing. What's it in our day? Do you think God can keep me from the evil of this world and the evil to come and the evil that's in me? He establishes His people. He has to do it. That's the gospel. Salvation's of the Lord. All of it. Every bit of it. Everything's of Him. Paul said in our text, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That was the theme of Paul's gospel. God is of power to establish sinners. To establish sinners. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It seems pretty plain, don't it, when we look at these scriptures. When we look at it in context, we say, well, it's right there. It's in black and white. It's in English. You can pick it up and read it. Isn't that just plain? It's hid from some people, though. It's hid. They don't have eyes to see it. They don't have ears to hear the gospel. They don't have hearts to understand the gospel. Look here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for His sake, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's what Genesis 1 was, day 1. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's what happens in the preaching of the gospel. God uses this frail jawbone to speak to a sinner and say, let there be light. And there's light. There's life in them. There's Christ dwelling in them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This whole good news, this whole gospel that's mine is concerning. It's all wrapped up in Christ, the Son of God, the God-man. But we have this treasure. We have this gospel in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's my gospel. That's Paul's gospel. This ain't up. Who gets the glory? What do we do? I kept Eve away. No, you didn't. That's plain, isn't it? I had faith. No, you didn't. God gave that to you. It's His faith. Well, I did some other. No, you didn't. I had good work. No, you didn't. I read this book and I understood it. No, you didn't. God had to do it for His people. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can leave a marker there in 1 Corinthians. We'll be back in just a minute. I'll try not to turn you to death this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Lord's power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I've said this several times. If Paul came here, if the Lord raised him, he came to preach to us, boy, we'd have a packed house. And I bet half of them would leave when they saw him. His points may not be in a good order. This meal he's prepared for you might be burnt toast. He fumbles his words, and it wasn't the man. It wasn't what he was saying. It wasn't how he was saying it. It was the power of God through the preaching of Christ. That's what's important. That our faith may not be in the man that talked to us, putting some man on a pedestal, like Brother Erskine we read the other day. Not looking to hear that man speak, looking to hear God speak. Looking for a word from God to your heart. And that power, that's not of us, and it's not of a man that comes to town preaching it. It's who he's preaching. That's where the power is, and that's where the faith is, and our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Where does it stand? In the power of God. Boy, now you've got assurance. Now you've got assurance. This gospel, it saves people and it keeps them saved. That's perseverance. That's comfort and rest. Oh, I don't know if I'm faithful enough. It ain't your faith. Outwardly, I ain't living like I ought to live. It ain't your outward living. I don't think on the Lord enough. I don't read the Scriptures enough. I don't do this. I don't do that. I should do this. Do too much of that. Our security isn't... Brother Todd was on an airplane one time. A man next to him was scared to death. I mean, he was trembling. And he said, "Ain't you afraid?" And he said, "You know, me being afraid has no impact whatsoever on this plane flying or crashing. My assurance, Lord gives His people assurance because it's Christ. When we look to Him, we have assurance. And when we look to His power, the power of God, we have assurance. But when I look to my power and my ability and my doing, oh, well, it gets let down, don't it? Thankfully, in this gospel, the gospel of Christ, our assurance and our fears and trembling has no impact on His power. Now back in our text in Romans 16. Left a page. Romans 16. Paul says in verse 25, "Now unto Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." This is my gospel to you now. This is the gospel given to me to you. Gospel is not a message that glorifies my ability to do anything, man's ability. It's not a message that glorifies a church's ability to do anything. You come to us and we'll train you right up. Nope. Our gospel glorifies the person of God and Jesus Christ. The Spirit quickens and the flesh profiteth nothing. That's what the Lord told us in John 6. The gospel's concerning the works of the triune God in Christ, who alone is of power to establish you. God fulfilled the law. Our flesh could not do it. He's of the power to come and fulfill the law for His people. He's of the power to to, in complete justice and complete holiness, take my sin and the guilt of it, not just a transactional accounting process to transfer my sin to Him. He took it, and He took the guilt as fully as His righteousness and His holiness was put in me. God has power to do that. Man doesn't, does He? He bore the wrath of God. God bore the wrath of God for us, in my stead, as my substitute. And He satisfied God's justice, and the whole time declaring God just while He was justifying those who believe, those He gave a heart to believe. And He ascended. Our proof is He rose. We have an empty tomb, and He's seated in His throne on high as our prophet, our priest, and our king, forever interceding for us. My gospel is the God of power to establish you. I'm not telling you to be concerned about earthly things. I'm not telling you to put your confidence in the flesh or to glory in others. Don't look at other men. I'm telling you to seek those things which are above. Set your mind on the Lord who's seated in the heavens. Look to Him. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So many others do that. They tell you to look to the flesh and look to men and look to outward things, not to look to the Lord. Galatians 6 verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. It hurt their feelings. It hurt their pride. That's the persecution they would suffer. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. What's that mean? If I could talk you into coming to church, I was the one that told them about Jesus. I was the one that told them about baptism. I talked them into it. Lord, use me to do it. That was me. They'd have pride in that. They glory in what outwardly happens in this flesh. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, except in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. I'm dead to this world. Kevin, I'm mad at you because of what you said. It don't affect me. I hate that for you. I wish you weren't upset, but this is the Lord's word. I'm crucified to this world, and it's crucified to me. It's dead to me, and I'm dead to it. They look at me and say, hey, that boy is dead in a doornail. He don't know what he's talking about. That's no theologian up there. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Power has to happen. Light has to come on in the heart. A new creature has to be made. There has to be a new birth. And as many as walk according to this rule, that God's the only one with the power to establish you. Peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Upon His people. And you know what? There will be peace. If we could shed this world and just think of the Lord's power. Think of everything He's given in this world. Every molecule He's controlled from the time He made molecules to the point He brought me to see Christ and knowing He'll keep me till the day I'm made just like Him in glory. His power to establish us. His power to keep us. His power to save His people. What are you worried about? But I can look to Him. That's assurance. Boy, that's good. That's comfort. My brother Maurice always used to say, go sit underneath the shade tree and eat a ham sandwich. Go have a piece of cake. We're about to go eat. Go sit down and eat. Have a good time. Enjoy your brethren. Love them. Lord's kept us. Lord saved us. That's peace. Peace in Christ, isn't it? How does God work His power to establish? He works it through the preaching of the gospel. Paul told us in Romans 16, says, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The means that the God of all power, the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, of everything, He chose to use. The means He chose to use is foolishness to everybody else. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. He chose preaching. He's going to take a clay pot that He made. And so that's a clay pot, That's what I'm going to use to honor. And he's going to take this clay pot, same thing as the other clay pot, but it's his water in it. He takes that water, he pours it out as he sees fit. He waters, he plants, he grows with it. That's still just a clay pot. Why that? Why can't I just go get my own water? I'll make my own cisterns. I'll bundle it up. I'll take that big old lump of gold and cover it up with a napkin and keep it for myself. Ain't going to happen. Lord said they've used broken cisterns that hold no water. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You mean a man stands up every week and tells you the same thing over and over and over again every time he gets up there, something about this Christ and this cross? Can't you learn something better? Can't you learn something that's how to walk in this world? We get that. Let's ascend above. Foolishness, isn't it? But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That's His power. If the Lord lets me see Christ and rejoice in Him today, the power of God is what it took for that to happen. Look down at verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. The religious person needs to see something. Got to see some fruit. I need to see you quit drinking and smoking and cussing. Got to see something. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's the Gnostics. The intellectuals. Oh, we need some wisdom, don't we? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. What a thing. The saving gospel message is not about outward works, outward dress, folks seeing you pray and hearing you say some fancy words, what you eat, what you don't eat, what you wear, what you say. It's about Christ, the Lord's wisdom, and sending Himself as a lamb. And the power that was in that blood. That's what it is. What it accomplished. Who He is and what He did. It's not about knowledge. How smart someone is. Oh, they can debate the doctrines of grace. I did that and I was graveyard dead. I was an apologetic. I could go to a task with them. Them boys that come around in white shirts and black ties at my door. Oh, here they come. That's better than watching a movie. That's better than TV. It's not about what they can debate. It's not about knowing all the dates, what happened in church history, or all the parts of the tabernacle. It's about knowing Christ, about knowing a person. Not about a person, knowing a person. A man can memorize and truly appreciate every brick in that wall of the city of refuge. Tell you all about it. Well, that clay come from this part of the quarry, and this hay come from that place over there, that field over there. Tell you everything about every brick in the wall, and never go into that city. Tell you everything there is to know about Christ and never enter into the person of Christ. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Who's the truth? Never able to come to know Christ. That's not what he's talking about. Now back in our text. What's going to happen when Christ is preached in power to His people? God establishes through the gospel in power by divine revelation. He gives this mystery. He reveals the mystery of this gospel that's ours, that's given to us by the blood of Christ. He reveals that mystery. It says in verse 25, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Those Greeks that must have knowledge, those Gnostics. If a man can fully understand the mystery of God, of salvation, I know everything there is to know. You don't need faith, do you? You don't need faith. I know everything. I don't need to believe in something I don't understand. I don't need to believe God. I know everything about it. That's not possible, is it? That's not a gospel. A man can fully understand all the workings of his gospel. If somebody can tell you every little jot and tittle of everything of his gospel, that's not a gospel. That's not the gospel. If a person's gospel can find salvation outside of preaching of the person and work of Christ, if they can come to know God outside the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, it's not the gospel. If a person's good news is that they can be faithful without the power of God. They have their own faith, their own understanding. It's not the gospel. It's a false gospel. I won't have you turn. Let's turn to Ephesians 1 real quick. I'll try to hurry up. Ephesians chapter 1. God ordained this before the world began. This revelation of the mystery of the gospel. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:7, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, unto our salvation." This gospel is mysterious. Paul writes here in Ephesians 1, verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." Why did the Lord do that? Why did the Lord make this mysterious? Why did He make the brazen serpent and the Passover lamb? Why didn't He make it where everybody could understand that? That's according to His own will. He purposed that in Himself. I don't know. That's how He chose to do it. That was the wisest way to do it. To show His power. Verse 10. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him." It pleased the Lord to establish His people in His power, that each and every one of them will hear the gospel. Be drawn to the Redeemer. They'll come to Him. And forever be in Him and be one with Him. To be made one with Christ. That's the end state. That's salvation. Heaven's a person. Being one with that person. He is our inheritance. That's who it is. That's what it is. Not a place, not a thing. Not a parachute from a worse alternative. It's a person. What would the result of this preaching be? We receive all that benefit. Christ our inheritance. And God receives all the glory for it. Look here at verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ." God the Father said, "This is my faithful servant, mine elect." He trusted Him first. Who's going to trust Him next? His people will. You're going to trust Christ for every bit of this gospel, every bit of this power, every bit of this establishing. The Lord's going to make sure of it. He will come to His people in power, in the preaching of the Word, and you'll lay all you trust, not in this body, not in people, not in things of this world, but on Him, on Christ. Let's look back at our text. I'll close. It says in verse 25, "Now unto Him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began," kept secret our whole lives till God revealed Himself in us, "but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." When the Lord does a work in us, we're going to have an obedience of faith. What's our obedience of faith? It's to believe on and in Christ's obedience as all your obedience. Everything that's required of me, as we were talking earlier, me and Thomas, I'm starting to see absolutely everything. "Weeping for my brethren," as Bob preached to us this morning. I know I should weep for people walking up and down these streets. Look at them, just walking this world, not knowing God. I know what's coming. I know who can satisfy a holy God for a sinner. I'm going to tell them, I don't weep for them. My Master did. He stood over all Jerusalem and He wept for them. Everything at all required of me, any obedience, any faith, is fulfilled in Him. And you know what that does? Not in show, not fake, not pretend. The Lord makes that effectual in the heart. Somebody loves the Lord for what He's did for them, for Him first loving us. I want to be obedient in faith. I want to. I want to serve the Lord. I want to obey His holy law. I want to walk in this world upright. And people say, where do you go, church? Well, tell them. Gives us a heart to love, don't it? A heart to praise Him. Because it's not praising ourselves. Look here in verse 27. Here's the result of that obedient faith and the power of God establishing us. the preaching of Christ in our hearts. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. When the Lord does a work in somebody, through my gospel, is that your gospel? Through His gospel that He gave to me, it's my gospel. Put it in my hand to give it to others. When the Lord does a work in somebody, you say, you know what? I ain't got no wisdom. I didn't know what I was talking about all that time. All those years I argued with people. Didn't know what I was talking about. God's wise. God's the only wisdom there is. Christ is our wisdom. And you'll say, glory through Jesus Christ forevermore. For eternity. That's our song. We'll sing that forever. We can't even know what a forever looks like. But it'll be praising His glory. Worshiping the Lamb. The rightful King of Kings. Amen.